evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. The vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook wanted to use Facebook the way that they wanted to, which was posting whatever the hell they felt like, even if it was wrong. And I posted what I wanted, which was correcting them, which they didn't like. Tough. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name pretty much everywhere. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist, although for the right price I might convert to, I don't know, Rastafarianism? I like the hat. We'll figure it out from there. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Starting on the panel tonight, we've got a full house finally. Yes, it's nice to have you back. Starting all the way from the left coast, almost. Welcome back, Dallin. Good morning. Good evening, actually.
Yeah, it's still evening for me. Evening, folks. Online known as Dallin, born and raised in North Central Canada to a Lutheran family, although religion was never that big in my household. I was encouraged to always keep an open mind, never stop asking questions, and above all, never stop imagining. And that has led me very well in my personal and professional life. Up until recently, I was very live and let live as far as religion was concerned, until the fundies started making some bad noises, and then it was time to basically pick up arms and put these guys back in their place.
Moving to the right, over into Ontario, north of me. Good morning, Heretic Woman.
Good morning. So, yes, I am in Ontario, Canada. I started out in the United Church of Canada, and as a goofy teenager, I decided to join a Calvinist sect, which was not one of my better choices. And I've since become an atheist for 26 years now, and like Dallin, I was sort of quiet about it because there really wasn't much need, but again, funnies started making all kinds of nasty noises, and so now I'm making all kinds of noise back everywhere I can.
Good lady. Moving to the southwest into the midwest of the U.S., good evening for you, Bridget.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I was born and raised in the South. I am currently living in the Midwest. I was brought up in the Church of Christ, and about 2003 decided that, you know, fundamentalism was just too wiped out for words. I was a live and let live kind of a person until we started having issues with fundies violating the separation of church and state, and so now I fight back anywhere that I can.
Moving to the south, me into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey. Wow, one of these days I'm going to screw it completely to hell again. Good morning, Joey.
Too late, you already done that. Hi, everybody. My name's Joe. Born and raised, Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois to an Irish Catholic family. Spent 8 years in the military, and now I am living in Pittsburgh as a designer and an atheist, and I'm just here to scare people.
Continuing to the east, into the shadow of DC, otherwise known as Doc Capital. Good morning, Unrenowed Tech.
Crap, it's morning already? Damn, where did the day go? Hi, I'm Unrenowed Tech. I'm atheist. And I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. So my witticisms today will probably be mostly muted. And like before, I'm not wearing any pants. No, nope. I opted for shorts. They're comfortable.
so I'll look so on glad Joe's face. Put an onto that one.
Good night. Across and, the pond. Oh, you still got more to talk about, do you?
He hasn't started.
This is good.
I'm also a father who is not trying to raise his son to disbelieve in religion, but to get him to think for himself.
That's good. Over the pond, over to England. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shijin. Great to be here again. I'm Chris. I'm currently based in the north of England. I've been an atheist for about the last 25 years after being raised nominally Catholic, which never really took. Like others on the panel, was relatively quiet for a while, and then I started seeing the amount of harm that being done in the world through religion and other non-factual beliefs, and then started to speak out a lot more over the last couple of years.
And then south through the channel, over to France. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name is Joseph. I'm living in Paris, France, but I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada, not far from Deborah. And I began life considering a career in religion, but I was saved at the last minute by an architecture degree. And I'm doing everything I can to promote critical thought and independent value judgments. Independent thought, what?
That works for me. So good evening, everybody. Nice to have you there. And a couple of quick hi's to the folks who are here using the Q&A section. If you're watching live, please, by all means, take advantage of the Q&A. If there's some social stuff, I'll make sure that it stays around long enough so that everybody sees it, but otherwise I'll trim once in a while as necessary. Which means, Renee, hi there. Katie, oh my God, I'm gonna cover that in just a second. And Beth, hey, hon. Hope that you're doing okay. I know that she's watching, but she's just too ashamed to go ahead and say that she's actually here. Hi, y'all. Ms. Ashley, we know you're out there somewhere. We know that you're going to see us sooner or later. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but Katie said hello to all the crap crew. I
actually kind of like
us. It's got to be known for something.
And we look like we've just turned off tech there.
Apparently, he'll more than likely get back momentarily.
Actually, you know, that whole crap crew comment kind of reminds me of the movie Coming to America with Eddie Murphy. You know, he does the line, "When you think of garbage, think of Akeem." So now it's, "When you think of crap, think of us."
And tech, you are back. Sort of.
Okay. Crap crew, that would look good on a t-shirt.
Joey, I'm looking at you now.
No, you don't. I have standards, thank you very much.
lies, damn dirty lies.
Yeah, no, his standards run a certain amount of green per hour of work.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that. No promises right now, but we'll see what happens. But thank you, Katie. That's actually pretty kind of cool. I was thinking about not too very long ago, Dallin's got the folks that follow along with his book and story, and there's a whole bunch of others. Now we've got the crap crew. That's, I don't know how to take that now. I guess we'll see how it plays out. You know, they say once you go with your first instinct, because it's usually the most creative, who knows, we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's get everything started over here, because we've had a lot of fun the last couple of episodes, laughing and whatnot, and I hope that we keep up with that. But before we go ahead and deal with the heady topics, unfortunately, as usual, with apologies to Noah and Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, first off, before you even go ahead past that point, oh my God, you people really, really, really need to not have Tom and Cecil on at the end of the show for that stuff. Those of you that heard the most recent Scathing Atheist, if you've never heard the term tartar before, look it up before you listen to the episode. That's as far as I'll go. Because, just, wow.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. That was one of those almost coffee out the nose moments.
Yeah.
That worked this week.
Yeah. So for those of you that have seen it, wow. And guys, and we know that you're watching. Wow. Just wow. Dudes.
Well done.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, they've outdone themselves this week.
That's an understatement. So let's get everything started. With 5 minutes on the clock, your 5-minute freestyle starts right now. Those of you that have done programming courses have probably heard of the little programming stencils that you can buy. They're little plastic pieces, about yay big, and they've got a whole bunch of different design on them, and the idea is that you're supposed to plan out how your program is supposed to operate. You don't actually write any code, but you sketch out graphically what's supposed to have happen. You got a graphical output, you've got user input, you've got data resources, storage, retrieval, database access, cloud storage, TCP/IP, IP6, who cares what the hell it is. But the point of it is, you've got this, and we've seen these kinds of things on many an occasion. It's a simple thing that you'll see graphics of, and it's usually a whole bunch of bubbles or ovals that say something in them, and they've got several lines coming off of them for, you know, yes, no, maybe, don't know, couldn't care less, you know, stuff like that. And it starts from whatever point it is, and it flows down to wherever it goes to. One of the more famous of them is, does it move? Yes, no. Is it supposed to? Yes, no. And depending as to what you get, you could end up with either duct tape or WD-40. Is it supposed to move? Yes. Does it? No. WD-40. Does it move? No. Is it supposed to? Yes. Or maybe I'm thinking of this wrong. I'm screwing it up in my head because I'm trying to think of it out. Anyway.
Does it move? Yes. Is it supposed to? No. Duct tape.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. But I got to listening to Atheists on Air, and something that Professor Stephen had been talking about, and it got me, of course, my brain to thinking about something. If we were to take the arguments that we keep hearing time and again, many, many times and again, from various apologists, including, not the least of which, CARM, since we had gone through some of that stuff, if we were to actually take those arguments and catalog them and script them out, I'm pretty sure that we would see an overlap time and time and time and time again. All over, every time. I'm pretty sure. It becomes a big fiasco because there is a certain filtering that wants to have happen that eventually leads to you to the big bubble of God, whatever that's actually supposed to be. And then I thought about what it is for those of us that are in the skeptical community. Our flowchart is actually quite different. Our flowchart is very short. It's very to the point. And it goes like this. Start. Listen to somebody else's claim. Can the person making the claim show this to be real? Yes or no? Or don't know? Let's say the answer is yes. Follow it off with that. Can other people show this to be true, measure it, quantify it? Yes. This is part of reality. Okay, so we have a lot of scientific discoveries that follow through with this, not the least of which is, for instance, electricity. Now, there's a lot of times where, you know, stuff went wrong, but eventually we got to the point where we have these magic talking boxes. But when we're talking about the God question, that one starts off really easy. Start. Listen to the claim. Can the person show the claim to be real? No. This is not part of reality. return to start. It's a feedback loop. It's a simple thing. All we need to do is to filter things into this very simple flowchart. Can you show it to be real? Yes or no? If the answer is maybe, well, then you need to go back and re-examine what it is that you're trying to tell us. There's only three choices. Can you show us? Yes, cool. Let's go ahead and figure it out. No? That's as good as I don't know. Go back to start. Figure it out again. But it's a simple prospect. All you need to do is to fall into the yes category. Is it really that hard? It's not. Unless, of course, you got bugger all as far as to proof. And believe me, we'll tell you when you've got proof. Because we want to see it for ourselves too. Welcome to episode number... Crap, what number is it? 74. Normally I have it on a separate page over here for myself. I didn't put it over there right now because I had other stuff on my mind. And the title, like I put in here, is Death Before Dishonor. And yeah, I thought about a couple of other titles, and that was one of the first ones that came to mind. And yeah, the Klingon thing came to mind for me at all. It was like, all right, that's cute. I'll go with that one. Why not? Screw it. But we'll get to the stuff, because unfortunately this is going to tend to be on the heavier side, which surprisingly enough I'm actually gratified for, because I don't like to do just all softballs. I like to come up with some stuff that has some real meaning behind it, and not necessarily bashing on stuff. So let's get started with everything as usual. Heretic Woman, where is Mr. Raif Badawi currently?
Still in a Saudi Arabian jail.
As of the recording of the show, that currently makes it 3 years, 1 month, 16 days since Raif Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime. We're still hoping and waiting for you. Our best of luck for you. And, as is becoming the thing, to the five countries that were on the list for watching at least part of our show, thank you. To Hong Kong, ni hao. To Switzerland, hallo. Slovakia, ahoy. Morocco and Mauritania. I always screw this one up. Medfaba. I know I keep screwing it up, and I'm sorry. I keep trying, really, really do. It's almost as bad as Russian for me, but we'll see how it plays out. So let me explain a little bit about the topic tonight, because I want to make sure that everybody's on board on this one. And yeah, I'm going to be clearing out part of the Q&A system. So those of you that got social stuff in there, sorry, it's just the way it ends up. What ended up happening over on Facebook is somebody that several of us have as a mutual friend on Facebook, and we're not going to name names, not going to name any specifics, had said that they had found out that a young lady that they knew, I guess it's about as far as I need to take it really, had scheduled an abortion. They guessed that they were about roughly 14 weeks, and from the way that it was laid out in the status report, I'm figuring it to be somewhere between 14 and 20 weeks of pregnancy at that point. And I guess is a little bit of a guess. But because this person was a minor and found out that it was 16 years of age, her parents were going to have to find out about it. Consent was going to be needed. Information was to be passed along. And this young lady, with her entire life ahead of her, went somewhere where there was a lot of water, tied some cinder blocks to her ankles, and drowned herself. For no other reason other than the family was extremely religious. Some weird sect that is influenced by Christianity mixed with Caribbean mythos. I don't even remember exactly what the whole thing was. It's really not that important. What's important is that we have a dead 16-year-old girl for no other reason other than she was afraid for her parents to find out that she had sex and she was pregnant and needed to have a medical procedure done to end that pregnancy. So not too very long ago, we used the expression, what's the CARM, to talk about CARM.org. There is a website out there for what's the harm. If ever you wanted to go ahead and try to figure out what's the harm, let's start here.
Already I can add that if she had had some education, she probably wouldn't have been pregnant in the first place.
That is entirely possible. Having access to birth control would have probably been helpful, but I don't have any much more information than what I've just given you at this point. And without breaking any kind of confidences, I didn't ask for anything beyond how old was this person, which I got 16. That's as far as I wanted to take it, because this is going to sound like it's mean-spirited. Please don't take it to be as such. Please listen and take it at face value. I would much rather not talk about this person any more than in the generalities. Because it's not about the individual on this particular point. Yes, she's the linchpin right now. She's the ignition point for this topic. But she is not nearly the only one. Joey and Dallin, we both I'm getting both of you guys to start off with, because we have a mutual acquaintance who we see on Facebook, we've spoken with on many an occasion, who is currently a help me out. What's the title of what she does currently? Joey, do you remember what the actual title is?
Our identifying information.
No.
One second. Shoot, is this who I think we're talking about?
Well, yes, one of our past Friday night hosts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what her title is. She helps out with Planned Parenthood to...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bridget's got it. Clinical escort.
Thank you. We have seen some of her status postings, pictures, and it's nasty. It's not fun. And Joey, when we went for a breakfast with Fred... during Anthrocon, we saw them out there in front of Planned Parenthood with their posters and garbage.
I've lived here for the last 3.5 years. In that time, they have had to replace the windows of this establishment no less than 20 times. They've had to go as far as to paint a yellow road-style stripe around the entrance, a half circle around the entrance, to designate how far you must be if you're picketing or protesting of some sort. The amount of ridiculous, it just...
Yeah, and Dallin, we both seen these status updates from her and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember a time looking at her statuses where there has not been anything. I'm probably screwing up my English. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable, and I use that term very loosely, and I'm vastly understating my reaction to a lot of the posts that you're talking about. Yeah. In those posts and in the stories I've read related to those posts, I am seeing examples of humanity that make me want to sign up for the first trip to Mars to get the hell off this planet as fast as I possibly can, because quite frankly, the fact that I share parts of my DNA with this subspecies of pond scum, it makes me ashamed to be who I am. Or excuse me, what I am.
Well, there's another mutual acquaintance of some of us in another private area that is also a clinic escort. And this lady, she said that just last week, one of the protesters approached her, called her by name, and threatened her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the police reaction to that was less than amazing.
What scares me is this particular law that I have heard about in the United States, a little something called Stand Your Ground.
Yes.
Now, my friend south of the border, you can correct me on this one. Basically, what it means is that if a person feels that their life is inevitably being threatened, they are justified in defending themselves to the point of actually killing the possible attacker.
Yeah, it's a very popular law in Texas right now.
What scares the hell out of me is that one of these days, one of these ladies who's going to this clinic is going to be approached by one of these protesters, is going to perceive it as a threat, is going to whip out a gun, and is going to dispense her own form of clinical escorting.
No, before we get past that, I want to also make mention. Here in the Buffalo region, a couple of years ago, some of you might remember, there was a very prominent shooting in the news, and I can't call it a shooting. It was an assassination on an abortion provider here in the Buffalo area, where the guy went out in the dark at night into the woods and waited for this one doctor and popped him. And it was in an affluent neighborhood in this area, and the defense part of it was, I only meant to shoot him in his hands so that he couldn't operate anymore. Because the God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Book of Numbers, that is all I... Like, right there, Book of Numbers, mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this case, for me, the Book of Numbers is the numbers that are attached to the statutes that this guy broke in order to take a life, in order to save a life, which isn't that one of the Big Ten...
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, thou shalt not be a douche nozzle is what it really comes down to.
Yeah, but the other thing too, Shujin, is, and I mean, I've hit this one before, the Book of Numbers has the procedure by which God hogs are to perform abortions or attempt abortions as part of a fidelity test.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not only permitted, it's outlined in the damn book that they're using to justify killing doctors.
Yep.
Yep. Now, because this topic is very, very much in related, much more to women, Heretic Woman and Bridget, I'm going to be leaning on you two very heavily this particular episode, because I will be the first to admit it. I don't have a vagina. Yes, I can get away with saying that, okay? No matter what any of you want to go ahead and say. So, as men, as males of the human species, there's only so much that we've got direct experience with, where you guys have got a hell of a lot more. You guys have got the direct perspective. So, I'm going to be looking to you guys a lot more tonight, especially. So, Bridget,
I want something there.
Oh, by all means.
There was an article posted on Daily Kos. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not. I haven't read too many of their articles, but one of them stood out to me because they talked to a nun, a Catholic nun. Catholic. And this lady, Sister Joanne Chittister, I can't say it right, but she's quoted, she said something about how the pro-life movement is really a hypocrisy. She said, and I quote, "I do not believe that just because you're opposed to abortion, that makes you pro-life. In fact, I think in many cases, your morality is deeply lacking if all you want is a child born, but not a child fed, not a child educated, not a child housed. And why would I think that you don't? Because you don't want any tax money to go there. That's not pro-life. That's pro-birth. We need a much broader conversation on what the morality of pro-life is." And you know what? If I have ever meet this nun in the street, I will personally shake her hand and say thank you.
Exactly. I've said that for years. It's not pro-life at all. It is absolutely pro-birth.
It's pro-punishment.
She's a Benedictine nun.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Wow.
I'm surprised they didn't kick her out.
Yeah, no, crap. Like,
well, hey, the day is still young, you know. It could still happen.
She's probably got some dirt on one of the priests or something.
Oh, she's also got her doctorate and written over 50 books, too.
Whoa. Who doesn't these days?
Wait a
minute.
Don't leave the bit there. No, wait a minute, Bridget. What did you say she's got?
She's written over 50 books, and she has her doctorate.
In?
I am not sure what her doctorate's in. I can Google that real quick, but that's her PhD.
She's sister doctor, then.
Yeah, doctor sister.
But that always burns me because, like she said, so many of these people do not want to support anybody. Like, you know, oh, well, if you're a single mother, well, tough patootie, like, you deserve that. And no care about the child or anything. And like, I used to belong to a debate group online years ago that was supposed to be mainly about abortion. And it, I mean, they talked about everything, but we did talk about it a lot. And what some of us kind of realized is that a lot of the people in the, quote, pro-life movement, it's not about saving any fetuses or children or anything like that. It's about punishing people for having sex that they don't think they should be having. And mainly punishing the women, because let's be honest, a lot of the time the fathers, you know, if they get nailed for child support, great, but they aren't really held to any great degree of responsibility. And so it's a way of punishing people for having sex that they don't think they should be having.
And it's also these same people that are against any form of sex education, family planning, general education on women's health, anything that would empower people to take control of their lives and avoid the many of these situations in the first place. And so, again, it is just punishing people, but also it's not telling them what the rules are or how the system works.
And the other thing that I've
beforehand
is a lot of these people, not all of them, but a lot of these people are very pro capital punishment. So how do you call yourself pro-life when you're perfectly fine with killing somebody, even if it's for murder or whatnot? Like, if you're pro-life, you're pro-life to me.
Yeah,
and I would call those people pro-follow our rules, because
yes,
that's basically what they want.
And I've noticed a lot of these pro-lifers are actually anti-sex. you know, for recreation. Because I got into a tit for tat online on Facebook, and I got lambasted by a whole bunch of people saying, you know, well, if a woman's raped, you know, that's being forced to get pregnant. But if the contraceptive fail, she's not being forced, and therefore she should go through with the pregnancy. You know, she give it up for adoption, but that's her fault, not the contraceptive's fault.
Okay. Yeah. Before you go past that, I'm gonna be locking onto that in a second as we swing this car around a little bit. But Bridget, you got the information. What did you find on her?
This nun has a master's degree from University of Notre Dame and a doctorate in speech communication from Penn State University, and she's also a research fellow at Cambridge University, and she's written over 50 books. So she's very, very well read, studied, and influential, I guess.
And yet still a nun. Interesting.
And still a nun, Benedictine nun, and she also lectures.
So that's
she's kind of amazing.
You know what? I think that her staying a nun, for whatever her own personal reasons, actually makes some of the things that she says towards the movement a little bit more powerful. Because they hear somebody, seeing somebody who has devoted their life to their God, to their version of their God anyway, saying, hey, listen, something's wrong here. And that gets a little bit more attention than just your random atheist going, hey, something's wrong here, because it's one of their own.
Oh, last bit. She is also co-chair of the Global Peace Initiative of Women, which nice. Is a UN-sponsored organization.
I don't think she's part of the leadership, though. That's kind of what amazes me about people like this, is that, you know, somebody in a position as hers, she's a nun, like, she's fulfilling the church's role of moral guide, but, like, she's really doing it. Because the church would like to present itself as, you know, no morals without religion. But somebody at her level has the freedom of actually examining things. And she's not operating out of self-interest like the religious leadership is. Right. So she can actually look at the situation and, like, you know, she can see it from a little more objective point of view.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
It isn't depending on what she's saying. Okay. It could, but...
All right. We got something over in the Q&A, and this is Courtney, who is watching it, and thank you, by the way, who's chimed in and said, I volunteered at the Pittsburgh PP, Planned Parenthood, the Pittsburgh PP, to walk women to the door. It is awful what goes on there. Sure. We have seen in the news, in various different circles, some of these tactics that are going on. Some of the signs, the billboards that are thrown up, not billboards, like sandwich boards, protest boards, and such. And I want to dovetail that one onto two pieces. Okay, one from Beth, who take care of yourself, who says, they are now using doxing as a tactic to intimidate, D-O-X-X-I-N-G. I am unfamiliar with this term, so does anybody...
I got it.
Okay, Dick.
Because I'm big in the gaming community. Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. Right.
Okay.
Anyway, doxing is basically where you use various online tools and resources, which are actually very prevalent and very easy to get your hands on. In some cases, you can do for free, or some for like $5 a person. And what you do is you actually manage to obtain the person's full name, their marriage, their offspring, things like that. So basically, family members. You gain their resident status, where they live, how long they've lived there, places that they've actually lived, if they own a car. In some cases, if you take certain information to the DMV or whatever you want to call it, like in Maryland, they call it the MVA, you can obtain information on their car, like license plates, things like that. And you gain all this information, and then you put it together in a nice, easy-to-read format, post it on something like Google Docs or on any kind of website like Pastebin or even Dropbox, where people have access to it. Then you go on a social media website and say, hey, look, this person is, you know, they're so-and-so, they're performing abortions. Here's the doctor's information. Here's where they live. Here's where their kids go to school. Go harass the hell out of them.
Memory yeah. serves, we heard something about this. I remember hearing something about
doxing this. Usually yeah. leads to swatting.
Yeah.
Which is inherently dangerous for everybody mm-hmm. involved.
Okay, and to make sure that everybody's on board on that one, who remembers and can better describe what swatting is?
Me, I'll take it.
Okay, you take it. I've already
Let me take a shot at it anyway. Swatting is, well, like Tech said, it dovetails onto doxing in that you get the information, then you call the police, leading them to that person's address under false pretense to the point where they break down the door and potentially arrest the person that you have just doxed. This has actually happened in the gaming community.
Yeah, a lot.
I believe the game was called League of Legends, and I'm ashamed to say that this one particular so-called professional swatter was north of the border here. And basically what it was, he would get in with... You get into chatting with certain female players in the game, and when they basically shut him down, he would SWAT them and have police at their door under false pretense.
So here's the reason why I wanted to kind of dovetail onto what was being said a little while ago, as far as to if you were a rape victim, you know, you've got some recourse. But if you weren't, you know, not so much. Well, there's two that I can think of. There was a young lady in, if memory serves, it was Ireland, who was disallowed because of Catholicism from having a life-saving abortion, and she died. This was
an Indian lady.
Yes. This yeah. goes back within the last 5 years, as I recall. I forget exactly.
I think maybe only two-ish.
Well, oh, no, there was another one. Give me a minute and I'll bring it
was
up.
Was this the doctor that you're talking about?
It might have been.
And she was like 30 years old and was miscarrying anyway. And they said that as long as there was a heartbeat, they couldn't do anything. Same one.
Well, I think they refuse to do a dilation and cutelage either way because they see that as an abortion, which is stupid. Because, I mean, if the fetus is dead, you know, how you remove it is really irrelevant at that point. And that's, like, the one I'm thinking of died of an infection because they let the dead fetus basically rot inside her.
I think that was the doctor, and she knew she was dying.
Uh-huh.
Like, the case I heard of was in Paraguay with a 10-year-old rape victim who was denied an abortion.
Okay.
I want to actually give some acknowledgement to the government in India. They came to the... there was a young lady... about 14, I think it was, who was impregnated against her will. And the doctors determined that if she has the kid, she's going to die. And for the last couple of weeks, it made certain kinds of news, depending on which news sites you look at, that mm-hmm. the government wasn't going to allow it because they don't allow abortions, blah, 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 blah. Well, just in the last 5 days, they re-examined all the data and everything else and the doctor's statements and everything, and they said, you know what, this is an extreme case. Her life's in danger. We're going to allow it. So they took a step forward. Granted, it's just one case, but it's one case in the right direction, and I have to acknowledge that.
Precedent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here's the other thing. While I was doing a while ago, I had been doing a news wrap-up of the week. That series doesn't exist anymore, but one of the items that I remembered was the youngest birth the youngest mother, I guess is the better way of putting it. A young lady who got pregnant and had a child at age 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go through that one more time.
Mm-hmm.
A child of 5 years of age who did not spontaneously gestate.
Yep.
Now, admittedly, this was a long time ago now. And the
1930s, I think.
Something like that. But the idea of anyone that age having a child, first off, is antithetical to the idea of a healthy society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, call it what you will, it is not normal for someone to say, that looks like a doll. Let me go ahead and do that. And yeah, you know, if I've just made you squirm uncomfortably, good. You should have.
My mother was 15.
Wow.
That's still 3 times the age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And let's face it, even Muhammad waited until later than 5 years old. Give me a break.
Yep.
Yes.
I was waiting for something like that to come up. I was going to say something, but I thought I'd...
Look, you can go ahead.
No, I was going to steer clear of it for now because, well, you know.
You know what? If you people want to go ahead and send me a hate mail, hey, be nice to get some mail for a change. Go ahead. ShujinTriple@holycrapthevlogcast.com. Screw you. But we hear about these medically needed, medically necessary abortions or terminations, or call them what you will, other than barbecue. Thank you, Tom and Cecil. Actually, it's Heath. We have to blame Heath. You know what? Screw you, Heath. For young women, especially in their teens, high school, who did not get any other information other than just don't do it. Okay, end of class, kids. There'll be a test on it tomorrow.
I think I've referred to that as just hold it potty train.
Yeah.
The worst part about it is, as was put out there, and I'm going to make this one a lot more generic for a moment. Sex education in general is a two-way street because generally speaking, with the human species, there are two sexes, hold on, wait for it, that are necessary for procreation. You know why I went ahead and I said it that way. You know exactly why. So, if it's necessary for both male and female to procreate, why is there a lack of information getting out there to the people who desperately need it? The kids, and I'm using the term very broadly right now, who are going through the hormone flooding brain, don't want to do anything but rut something that doesn't even have a pulse.
And I can tell you the quickest way to guarantee a teenager is going to do something is to tell them not to with no explanation.
Exactly.
You know, here's what we're up against. Okay. I brought up the fact that, you know, if you really, 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 really want to decrease the amount of abortions that are performed in the whole world, possibly make it a zero-sum game except in extreme cases, instead of going after Planned Parenthood or shooting doctors, things like that, how about when it comes time to vote for politicians and for science funding and all sorts of things like that and educational programs, how about we find the people who are going to support better research into better or more effective contraceptives, affordable health care, easy access to those said contraceptives, medically accurate sexual education for everybody, improved domestic educational programs, and social programs that help the impoverished, because statistically, at least in the U.S., if you're in an impoverished area, that area typically has a higher rate of unwanted teen pregnancies. But most importantly, also an increased awareness of adoptive programs, both for if you have a child and you decide to birth the child, but you cannot take care of the child, adoptive programs that are nearby to put the child up for adoption, and for those looking to adopt. And I got kickback, people saying, no, you can't do that. That puts justification on this, that, the other thing. We're not going to blame any of that stuff. We're going to blame the individual. Basically, they blame the individuals for having sex.
Yeah,
that's what we're up against. We're not up against the fact that we don't have contraceptives. We're not up against the fact that we don't have sex education programs that work. We're up against the people who don't want those programs. We're up against the people who don't want people to have access to the programs, to the products, to the education. That's what we're fighting here. We're not here to debate whether an embryo or a fetus, when it becomes human or any of that crap. We're here trying to make it so that people all have a fair shake.
Mm-hmm. Heretic woman, you were going to say?
I was just going to say, it goes back again to what I said, is that they want to punish people for having sex that they don't think they should be having. That it seems to always come back to that into some form. And the one, and half of what they're doing by standing out in front of Planned Parenthood is they're hoping to shame anybody who's going in there, because, well, they're obviously having sex and they shouldn't be, because if they were married or, whatever, then they wouldn't be wanting an abortion, which is crap, because everybody knows that there are lots of reasons why people in stable relationships may need or want an abortion too. And I mean, I've heard stories where they're standing in front of Planned Parenthood and you know, yelling and screaming, "Don't kill your baby." And the woman's going in for a freaking pap smear, you know, like, but they don't care. They want to humiliate anyone that goes anywhere near those places, because that's how they think they're going to punish them.
Yeah, and the easiest way to find out if those people really do have morals is like, wait a minute. If I'm not going to kill my baby, who's going to take care of it? Are you going to adopt it? Because I had that same argument. I had that same argument with one of my buddies, and he said, "Oh, adoption's a great thing for unwanted children." And I said, "You're absolutely right. There are many children out there who want and desire love. How come you aren't adopting?" And he said, "Well, you know, we have a kid already." And I said, "Yeah, but you've already shown on Facebook that you and your wife want to have another one. Well, rather than making another one, why not adopt one that's already made and show it how much you can love it, even though it's not from your genetic base?" And his wife kind of got in my face online about it. She said, "You're a man. You don't know what it's like to have life inside of you. You don't know what the desires are like." And I lost it at that point, and I said, "You know what? I don't know what it's like to have a life inside of me. But ever since I was little, I always knew I wanted a family. And when I hit puberty, that desire to create a family skyrocketed, and it still exists within me today. I have love to give. I am not financially set to have another child, let alone adopt a child. Therefore, I have neither. But you know what? When I get where I need to be, where I'm financially set, if I decide to have another child, I'm probably going to adopt rather than have another."
Yeah.
All right. So tell me, who is more moral right now? You guys planning on producing another mouth to feed that's going to put another negative impact on our environment? Me, who's willing to accept one that I didn't create, but still I can love.
Okay, now
where's your God in this?
I met one person online once that, now of course it's online so you have to take it with a grain of salt, but one person who actually claimed to have stepped up to the plate and actually adopted the child that they convinced a woman not to abort, that I can have some respect for.
But I have a lot of respect for that.
But out of the hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people that you see whining and complaining and, you know, going to Planned Parenthoods, you know, throwing rocks through windows and threatening escorts and things like that, I bet you I would be surprised if any of them had adopted a child, and I bet you a good chunk of them are against social programs that would support children of single parents.
Mm-hmm. It's total cognitive dissonance, because the entire goal of the church is to breed more ignorant children, so they have to breed in ignorance.
Right.
And they're setting the stage and then not wanting to deal with the consequences.
Okay, now you're taking me at exactly the point where I was hoping that we were going to go to, because I've got a point to produce. Joey, you've been in the military. You grew up in the Catholic side of Chi-Town. You and I have some pieces that kind of overlap for overall experiences for that. So I'm going to ask you to do something now that you've finished your drink, so I don't have to worry about you damaging sinuses. I would like you to do something for me. Say the word vagina.
There's a trick issue here, isn't there?
Yes, but it's not what you think it is.
If you can't say it, sing it.
I thought this was supposed to be a PG-13. Now it's fine.
If you can play the penis
karaoke before, so I know he can sing.
Wait. Hold on a second. Joey, if you can play the penis game, you can play the vagina game.
At least he's not taking
it. What exactly do you mean by that?
Penis game is where everybody tries to say penis a little bit louder than the last person who said it until somebody chickens out, because they'd end up yelling and screaming it to be louder than the person before them.
See, now I'm tempted to go the whole 99 words for boobs route and just start spouting off all the words that I know. But here, I'll say it again. Vagina.
Okay, and Heretic Woman's got the...
If I'm going to do this correctly.
Okay. Let it be heard on the podcast version that he scrunched up all of his hair and did the whole aliens thing, but only with vagina. And Heretic Woman's got this cute little picture up. It's this little rainbow outline of a fetus, and it says, "May the embryo you save be gay and proud." I think that's a great protest sign right there.
I think it's one of the best bumper stickers I've ever
got. I actually made it into a shirt because I was once challenged that I didn't believe in my convictions enough to wear such a thing in public. So, of course, you know I had to.
Now I am curious, however, Shujin. Why are you having me rattle off terminology for various bits of female anatomy?
To prove a point, you of all people, in of us, have seen arguably some of the most painful, some of the best and the worst that humanity has got to offer. And you had a hard time getting over your own conviction, your own squeamishness about a body term. Specifically a female body term.
I'm not really squeamish about it. I'm just I was thinking for a minute, okay, wait a second, what the hell has he got going on here? Why do I feel that I am leaving myself open for something? That was my only hesitation.
Oh, yeah, he thought it was gonna be the brunt of a joke.
Yeah.
Here's the point.
It's like somebody handing you a chocolate Easter bunny in December. It's like, what's going on here?
Actually,
I wouldn't need it either, because it's probably from Walmart. It's been on the shelf for 6 months.
Sujin, let me step over real quick, but I think you can piggyback on this one. Let me make a point here real quick that we did with Joey. If I could guarantee the anonymity of my son, okay, that nobody would be able to recognize him, his voice, his face, or anything like that, and that we were in an hour where he was actually awake, I'd have him right now come on the show and tell you exactly, medically accurate, how intercourse works from his perspective, for him as a boy, and how a girl, and what what happens during the act and what the results can be when it's unprotected. He's 9. Show me an adult who can actually talk about that without being squeamish.
Yeah. Now you know exactly where I'm going. One of the biggest things to being able to deal with these medical necessities is basically just getting over ourselves societally, culturally. I mean, let's face it. If you go back to the if you go back to the 20s, the 1920s, it was not at all unusual to see topless. Yes, topless dancing was not frowned upon. It was a cultural, artistic expression.
That the flappers of the Roaring Twenties.
The flappers and oh god, what the hell was her name?
Are you sure about that?
There were a number of dancers who were able to do it in the 20s. And God, I can't remember what her name was.
But those were in underground clubs. Those were in speakeasies.
Yeah, the flappers were more common in the speakeasy locations than in the general public. General public flappers, they went out. They were closed. They didn't go topless out in public because you know people typically didn't do that. But when they went to the speakeasies and dance and things like that. Yeah, it was like the respect that the Playboy bunnies get, or supposed to get.
And the big thing with them is the style of dress, because this was right on the heels of corsetry and hoop skirts and all that crap. And these girls were going out in knee length skirts with no underpinnings. The sheath. You've seen flapper dresses with the beads and all. But there was no corsetry, there was no, giant bloomers and all of that. It was like a little dress like you might see now. And that was like, holy wow, like that was so risque because women were wearing... you were showing your ankles and, you weren't wearing a corset and all, like...
You were showing your shoulders as well.
Yeah. You didn't have any foundational undergarments.
So the girls
so
were
everything
flapping
wiggles.
Around. Maybe that's why they call it flappers.
it's a thought.
What Shisha was saying about people need to get over themselves, I don't know if you remember this or not, but back in 2012, I think it was, the Michigan House had censured one of the reps there for using the word vagina on the House floor.
Okay, wow. Here's the thing.
And said that she was speaking inappropriately and just vagina was just not appropriate, so she was not allowed to speak on the floor anymore.
Yeah, I remember that one. See, this is the thing. If culturally, for whatever reason, we find it difficult, both males and females, men and women, to discuss openly and accurately what is medically necessary and where and why, that is the first nail in keeping stuff locked away. If you can't talk about it, you can't do anything about it. There is almost never going to be a time when a gastroenterologist is going to shy away from using the term rectum.
Yeah.
Think about it for a second. I mean, leaving all of our typical jokes aside for a second, when would you ever expect a gastroenterologist to use a euphemism for a rectum? They'll use the term colon, but maybe that's about as far as they'll go.
Well, that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's work of your intestines.
Yes.
Anus. But they might use anus.
Yes, but again, we're still talking about actual, accurate terminology. And yeah, I know that I was using the term colon to specifically talk
about. You're not going to hear an OBGYN refer to it as a hoo-ha.
And if you do, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And Ms. Ashley, mwah, we love you, hon. We know full well. Yeah.
But can you imagine you need to go to a doctor and be like, okay, so how's your vajayjay doing? Like,
yeah. So,
oh God, heretic woman's channeling me because I was just thinking the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, slightly different, but if I went to a doctor and they couldn't use medically correct terminology for part of my rectum or discuss things openly, I'd be out of there.
Yeah.
On that, I'd just be thinking, like, there is no way that I'm letting this person anywhere near me.
Exactly.
If you can't use medically correct terminology, why do I want you legislating what happens to it?
And there's the problem right there.
If you can't use medically correct terminology, why the hell are you in the practice to begin with?
No, we're talking about lawmakers that are like, we need to regulate your hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Or your baby shoot or something, lady bits.
Yeah. This is the bar, you're gone from it.
Yeah.
I actually have to acknowledge that when I was in high school in Virginia, and we had this education class in biology, they used all the terminology. They did a whole in-depth, medically accurate sex education course. And it amazed me at how many kids, especially a lot of them, my class was fairly balanced in the amount of male to female ratio. How many of the women were very uncomfortable, but a lot of the guys were just like shrugging it off like it was nothing. And I was like, wait, something's wrong here. Why are the women getting upset about hearing about their body parts, but the guys aren't? You know, it was like, well, because us guys being guys and being, going through puberty and everything else, we tend to explore, you know. We tend to, oh, look, it's doing this. It's like, ooh, that feels good. What?
Well, let's keep doing it. I know from my point of view, we were taught that it was shameful, but we were taught abstinence only anyway, and it was segregated classes. So that was probably a lot of it.
And you know,
were told that the only 100% guarantee to not get pregnant was abstinence, but if you must have sex, if you absolutely must have sex, then you use contraceptives.
We were not taught that at all. It was abstinence only, and they never referred to birth control at all.
The only sex that I ever remember having was, I think, in 7th grade. And it didn't even mention sex. It was, here's your vagina, and you're going to get a period, and this is what happens when you get a period, and here's how you use a tampon, and that was it. There was no mention of sex at all.
For me.
Well, we weren't even taught about tampons, but you know how it is in Mississippi, right?
Like,
but
the funny part of 6th grade for me, it was two films. Done over the course of 2 days. I watched them first in 5th grade, and then the next year in 6th grade, we were all assembled again to basically watch the same thing. It did talk about how you got pregnant. It did talk about the state, like what a woman goes through for pregnancy. There was, it was all pretty much illustration and animation without being, let's say, explicit. You know, but it did talk, it talked about puberty, it talked about the changes that both male and females go through, but never said anything about, you know, it never said responsibility. It never said anything about abstinence. It was just like, here's what a woman goes through, here's what a guy goes through. And that was it.
Didn't get the interpretive dance?
No, but what it gave...
We got the interpretive dance video illustrating sexual intercourse. Literally, yeah, it was two ballet dancers
right there.
And shadow...
You know, the thing is, there was no innuendo. There was the fact. This is this, that is that, and that was it. And I think the goal of those films was not so much to, you know, shame or whatever. It was to make each gender comfortable or at least understand their bodies. And then from there, seek out guidance as to, okay, I'm a woman, I'm now having this period, what the hell's going on? Oh, and it actually did show about how to use tampons and all that stuff too, which was interesting. I still get squicked when I go through that aisle, but that's me. I'm a male. It's a hang up.
Well, we were not taught about tampons because that would cause you to lose your virginity. But there's a reason why Mississippi is the highest in teen pregnancy rates. I'm just saying.
I dedicate this one to the educators of Mississippi.
Yeah.
For those who know the audio version, that was a patented facepalm.
Ow. Yeah. If I can give a slightly contrasting viewpoint from here. I got first round of sex education at around age 10 in I think last year or two of primary school. And medically sort of correct terminology, a fairly basic explanation of like where babies come from and the basic mechanics and stuff you can expect happening to your body over the next few years. And then followed up with further details, including more about contraception and stuff, probably about age 14, something like that, at high school. But even that was, and this is going back, obviously, now 20 years, and I understand things have obviously changed in the curriculum, but again, there was, and it did touch on relationships a bit, but there was, it was still fairly limited, and 20 years later, I'm still learning stuff about human anatomy and the way things work and different sort of sexualities, gender identities, all kinds of stuff that I wish I'd known 20 years ago. And there's a lot of situations that I've had in my life when I was young, a lot younger, ignorant and inexperienced, where I've probably been fairly hurtful and ignorant to other people just through sheer lack of education, and I really regret that.
Yeah, now, funny enough, there are a lot of pieces that really fall into this, and I have to kind of apologize for kind of sneaking us into this way, but like I said, proving the point that we've got an aversion to dealing with how private our privates are. Like I said, it's how do you get past that? I mean, it's not something that you can really do overnight, not by a long shot, but
actually, there's a really easy way to get past that. And I was having a similar discussion, not about sex education, but about other kinds of developmental concepts of society to break society out of certain bad mental habits and how to go about it with a buddy of mine that I work with. You know, I do a lot of bouncing ideas around devil's advocate and everything else. And what it all boils down to is, you know, with the adults, you have so many adults who are set in their ways. They've had so much indoctrination or predispositions shoved down their throats. It's really hard to manipulate the adult mind into a new thought pattern to a degree with some limits in mind. But children are malleable, which is why so many religions go after the children and then the methods that they use. If you have the conversation with your child, if you give them, arm them with knowledge, with understanding, and you present it correctly, sure, they might every once in a while let something slip out in public where, okay, you're out eating dinner and now your child wants to know about menstrual cycles. Okay, that's not the time or place for it. You know, you have to reiterate that's something, the discussion at home. You know, let's do that at home. But for the most part, you'll have removed that limiter that society currently has. And you have to do it through the children, through the education. Like with my son, I know he can talk about this. I know he understands it. And hopefully he'll use that knowledge when he does find a partner to evaluate the partners that whether or not that partner is right for him by whether or not that partner is willing to communicate those kinds of ideas, concepts, likes, dislikes, and things like that, and use it to live a healthy, happy life. But if he comes across ones like, oh, we can't talk about that because it's a God thing or whatever, then he'll be able to go, oh, this person's not right for me. You know, this person, they're shaped differently in their mindset, and this is not going to work for me, so I need to move on.
I'd agree with your point generally, but I say it's a sign of society that even you think that that conversation would not be appropriate in some places. I don't think it should be any more inappropriate than a child asking in public why people have two sets of teeth from, like, you know, baby teeth and then adult teeth. Or wow. Any other part of...
Well, no.
Hold on a second.
Cycles as an example, because some people have very good imaginations, and if they're eating a rich steak, the last thing they want to be thinking about is blood.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry I had to stop you. Chris, I'm so glad that you went ahead and you specified baby teeth and adult teeth, because the first thing that was going through my head at this point was Five Nights at Freddy's, and I'm sorry, it's not going to be a reference for anybody in the future anymore, but I'm just glad that you mentioned that, because that ran through my head.
Yeah, I've missed that reference, but...
It's kind of like a commercial that was out a few years ago for, it was Kinestin, I think it was, which for those of you who don't know, is a topical ointment for yeast infections. And the ad was a bunch of women having coffee, and the child of whoever's home it was playing with mummy's tube of Kinestin in a... dump truck or something, and yeah. And all of the woman whose son it was all mortified that, you know, now all her friends would see that she had a yeast infection and all of that. So that kind of brought that to mind. Like, you know, there are some things, like, you wouldn't want to talk about, you know, the infected ingrown toenail I have or something. You wouldn't want to talk about that either. I get where tech's going with that.
No, okay.
Talking about a menstrual cycle, it is natural and normal, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing in of itself, but so is, you know, having a bad cold where you've got, you know, hey, did I tell you what color my snot was when I sneezed today? Like, some people just wouldn't find that very appealing, at least not at the dinner table.
Yeah, I mean, if he and I were at, like, say, our local playground, and I was sitting on the bench and he came over and he wanted to discuss it, I could do that at the playground, talk about that at the playground, because people aren't eating. I'm trying to make sure that he understands that some people find aversion to things depending on the activity that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, I have a vivid imagination. I can actually have, you could give me a description of some kind of character you wrote for a book, and I can visualize that character based on the description you give me in my head and create a 3D rendering model in my head. Now, if I could do that on a computer, I'd be rich. But so when you have somebody like me sitting eating a rare steak or hamburger and the person next to me is talking about their latest flow, my brain, whether I like it or not, because I do have some control but not a lot, and that's a personal problem on my part, my brain is going to literally pick up on that, and it's going to make some not so pleasant images in my head while I'm eating.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want to submit somebody else to that unwillingly. Okay. I try to be respectful to those around me in that respect.
I appreciate where you want to go, and some things going into that level of detail. Yeah. Obviously you don't want to discuss at, the dinner table, right. On there. But what I was actually meaning was that the general non-specific kind of sort of generalities on there, that the topic should not be completely taboo, and obviously, yeah, you don't want to go into sort of something innately personal or graphic. in a restaurant, but it shouldn't be like any sort of civilized discussion of a topic on there just because it relates to some part of human anatomy. Shouldn't necessarily be completely off limits. There are ways of doing it. And I was thinking it's just a measure of society and how much shame and embarrassment is unnecessarily around these things. That immediately, like, people think, like, you can't mention this here or whatever on there. And it's, I think that's a level of how deeply ingrained this kind of thing has been, and that needs to change.
Yeah, see, my son knows that he can approach me with any topic, any question, and I will not make fun of him, I will not judge him, and I will not tell him that he cannot ask those questions. I might say, okay, that kind of question requires us sit down someplace quiet and have a long discussion, or, you know, I have books on that, or, you know what, we can have that discussion right now because, frankly, we're not eating, or it's, you know, or maybe it pertains to the activity that we're doing. You know, he's asking about, like at one point he asked me about car accidents, and I said, well, if you really want to see what a bad car accident does to the human body, I can actually show you on my phone. He said, sure. And I said, okay, now we haven't eaten yet, so I have to warn you, this body is literally folded in half because they went out drunk driving and they hit a pole and the car pulled up, collapsed on itself. So you're going to see things that you haven't seen before. If you have questions about these things, let me know what they are and I will identify them. I showed him a picture of a person literally folded in half. And he said, that's horrible. And I said, yeah. And hopefully they didn't suffer long. But when you go out, if you have the responsibility of driving, then you go drinking, things like this can happen. And not that they do automatically, just that they can. And so with him, he's always bombarding me with questions, and I'm so proud of that.
Okay. So now that we got that, and we're getting close on to finishing this off, I want to go ahead and get everybody's piece on something else that had also been in the news, and I kind of know where I'm going to end up for my closing remarks. We had also heard about a pharmacist who said he was not going to dispense, I forget if it was morning after pills or if it was birth control pills or whatever it was, because of religious convictions, that was then told by the pharmacist board for the state, I believe it was, yeah, you will, or you can just bugger off, which is a wonderful thing as far as I'm concerned, because that means that, yeah, the group is actually doing their job. So, Joseph, I'm gonna start off with you because you haven't had nearly as much time. I'm gonna get Joey right after you, assuming he gets back in time. But I'm assuming that you had heard about this particular story through one of the other podcast channels. Yes.
No.
Okay. Short version: a pharmacist, a chemist, didn't want to give out, I forget if it was a Plan B prescription or if it was just plain birth control, and forgive me for saying just plain. I mean, a lot of brain went into...
Well, you mean it comes flavored now?
Yeah. Gary, if I remember correctly, Susan, it was he didn't want to prescribe any, or not prescribe, but fill any orders for Plan B.
Okay, that could have been it. And by the way, Joseph, cherry flavored, nice, well done.
Oh, before we go into it, just for the folks that are not familiar with this, because they may not have it in their country, or they may have never heard of it, Plan B is a combination of two specific medicinal chemicals or herbs or whatever the hell they're made out of. But what they do is they force the woman's body to detach the embryo and flush it. Just like they would, just like happens a lot. There are a lot of women who have actually become pregnant after intercourse, but the body naturally flushes it anyway, just because of mixed signals or whatever the case might be. And the pregnancy didn't take full effect, so to speak, but even though the cells are still splitting and everything else. So this is just a medicinal way to make that effect happen.
And there's instances of that in the Bible, where the woman would have to visit the priest, and he would give her a bitter drink.
Book of Numbers.
Yeah.
All right. So the point of it is, I want to get everybody's impression on the whole thing, regardless of the exacting about the medicine. For someone, in this case specifically, a pharmacist, a chemist, because let me make sure that I go ahead and put a full disclosure here. My very first job was working at a local pharmacy, and every job I have ever had afterwards, I have compared to that because it was a wonderful experience. Mm. The case, the story was about a male pharmacist, chemist, who would not fill a prescription for whether it was Plan B or for quote unquote the pill, birth control, but didn't want to dispense it because it would be terminating a pregnancy, preventing a pregnancy because of religious feeling, closely held religious belief. We use that overall umbrella.
The rules he follows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm getting you to lead off on this one. What do you say about people who want to go ahead and use that shield as a, I'm going to dictate your medical, your ability to purchase medical stuff?
Well, like I said before, the entire goal is to breed ignorant children, and people with religion empowers people like this because it gives them license to ostracize. They can use the religion as a justification to make life difficult for anybody who doesn't follow the same rules they do. And it's win-win for the church because, I mean, first off, they're harassing people who are probably don't subscribe to the rules anyways. It's free advertising for them, because look at all the attention that all these anti-abortion protests are getting. And orphanage, how do you say that in English? Jeez, I'm losing my English. Orphanages are ideal recruiting places for religion. So it's win-win for them. So it's evil. I don't know what more I can say. And it's a total absence of morals because they're not considering anything. Morals is assessing a situation and coming up with the best solution. It's an individual thing. But when you're following somebody else's list of rules, you don't have that internal process going on. It's not human.
Let me get Joey because I wanted to make sure I got him. Right. With like I was saying, with the chemist, with the pharmacist saying, I will not give you because my book says I shouldn't. What have you got for that one?
Normally, pretty sure if this was a doctor kind of situation, there's something in the oath against that. But then again, you don't need it. Doctorate, I don't think you do you? For at least some pharmacy jobs?
No.
To be an actual dispenser, I actually roomed with a guy in university who was studying to be a pharmacologist. So it is an actual education/papers-required occupation.
Yeah, there's a lot of chemistry that goes into it because theoretically, you would have the knowledge on how to actually build a prescribed medication from the ground up, so to speak.
Also knowing conflicts of medication that perhaps your physician doesn't know about.
Yeah, yes, I know all that, but are they required to take an oath of any sort?
That I couldn't tell you.
I don't think so.
Because if they are, I would say that's a pretty big conflict of interest there. But Aside from that, look, it's the same thing I've always said. If you've got a job, just do it.
Do your job.
Yes.
Yes.
And I would
regardless
say...
regardless of your opinion...
Yes.
Regardless of your personal opinions and your own motives, you have a job to do. And whether you agree with what somebody is doing or not, if they have gone through all the trouble of contacting a doctor, getting this prescription, making this life decision of their own volition, you have no business trying to prescribe to them what they should do at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You have one job, and that is to facilitate.
Okay. And by the way, just to make sure that you guys know where I'm going on this one, Bridget and Heretic Woman, I'm going to put you guys together at the end of it all to clean up the stuff that we've missed, so to speak. And that probably came out completely a wrong way. And I apologize. I'm getting really tired and my head is going a whole bunch of different ways. I want to make sure that you both get the opportunity of bouncing off of each other for you, at the end of it all. So forgive me if I'm pushing you guys to the back of it all. I mean, you understand the reason and the rationale for it. I mean, I want to get the best answers I can out of you guys. Chris, I'll get you at this point. Where do you want to take it? How do you want to say on it?
Regarding the pharmacist,
yes.
I think they're completely out of order. They're a healthcare provider. Whether you actually say an oath or not, I don't know on there. But I think that's irrelevant. You're there to provide a healthcare service to people on there. And if you don't have a medical reason to deny someone a treatment, particularly something that is a time-sensitive treatment, as this is, then you've got no business being in the profession.
Mm-hmm.
On there, and you can't sort of just pick and choose who in an occupation like that, who you give what to.
Well, the problem that we're seeing now, as far as like the religious exemptions and things, is technically under the law, if you cannot hand out a prescription because it's against your beliefs, you are supposed to find someone who can, or refer them to a person who will do that. But what we're seeing now in some states is where the referrals are not being made, and the pharmacists are keeping the prescriptions and not giving them back to the person and refusing to fill them.
And when they do that kind of thing too, I've heard them say that, oh, well, even it's still against my religion to refer it to someone else because I'm still facilitating it to happen.
And that's bullcrap, but that is what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some sites are getting away with it.
And taking prescription is illegal.
Yeah,
technically, but
no, it is.
You know, if you're in a state that condones that sort of behavior, they're not going to prosecute you.
Yeah. See, now this is the reason why I wanted to keep you guys for the back end of it. Once I got rid of us guys out of the equation, because you guys know exactly where you're going on this right now. That's
yeah.
You've got this. All right. So hang on. Yeah, hang on just a couple more moments. Tech, what did you want to throw at this one real quick?
Well, I need to correct myself. I said that Plan B was basically performs an abortion for the short version, and I was wrong, okay? I was wrong. Bridget set me right, because what I did is I confused it with the medical abortion cocktail that I had looked up and was reading about a couple days ago. And the Plan B, like Bridget pointed out, is just like it's like the regular pill, only lots more stronger. What I was thinking of was a prescription that actually has to be prescribed and administered by a doctor, so you wouldn't get that over the counter by a pharmacist. So I needed to correct that. And as far as the guy goes, it's real simple. I work in government contracting. If I know what the job entails because the job description was given to me before I agreed to work for them. If I agree to do the damn job and they hire me and then I say, listen, now that you've hired me, I can't do my job because it's against my religious beliefs, they're going to say, see ya, mother mofo. So I say to this guy, see ya, mofo.
Good catch, by the way, on that. All right, Dallin, here's your chance on that one.
I would first, well, kind of tailing on to what Joey said, if your career, if you are unable to perform the duties because of some kind of religious thing, you should not be doing that job. If you are doing that job and you find yourself in the situation where you cannot or will not fulfill a prescription because of your own religious things, as far as I'm concerned, that is grounds for dismissal, revocation of your license, and making sure that you never work in that damn field again. And if this is being listened to in the year 3500 or whatever, to any future pharmacology students who are looking to get into this business, ask yourself one question on day one of your first class. Is my religion at some point going to prevent me from fulfilling this job? If the answer is yes, going to the flowchart here, if yes, save yourself a few thousand dollars and get the hell out, go back to McDonald's. Or better yet, go back to Chick-fil-A. Managers of stores that have pharmacies in them, places like Walmart and other places like that, their managers should grow a pair. And if a complaint is leveled against a pharmacist because of this, get them into the office and get them the hell out. Because they obviously have no they are obviously incapable of performing the duty, therefore have no place in that pharmacy.
There it is. And by the way, over on the Q&A, new face over there, Mitch. First off, hi, thanks for watching. Mitch had also said, well, back in my day, which was in the late 60s, my parents didn't even talk to me about it. I wish they would have, meaning having the quote-unquote the talk, the sex talk about everything. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that have been in that position. And thank you for chiming in. We hope that we get to see you again. If you'd like to subscribe or follow me over on G+ or whatever so you can find out about the shows in the future, chime in. We'd love to hear back from you. I will, of course, will have my final wrap-up of everything. But, ladies,
okay,
the floor is yours because you my finale will definitely tie into any and everything that you guys have got at this point.
So, the guys were saying, if you are religious to the point that you aren't able to do something in a career, then you need to pick the career or the God, because, and I don't care what job it is, like, medical is far more sensitive than most jobs, but I don't care if you're a school teacher or if you're a freaking bus driver or if you flip burgers at McDonald's. If there's something about your job that your religion says you can't do, then you don't do that job. Like, people who want religious exemptions for wearing, you know, hijabs or whatever, and they're supposed to wear, say, well, decades ago, and Dallin and Joseph will probably remember this, when the Sikhs made a big stink about not being able to wear their turbans as RCMP officers. And that's kind of minor. That's kind of minor because that's not really a safety issue per se. It was part of the uniform. But, you know, to me, it's like, you know what? If the job says that you have to wear a uniform and you can't wear that uniform, you don't do the job.
What about the ceremonial daggers being allowed into court?
That's right. Ceremonial, Yes, ceremonial daggers on Sikhs being taken. You can't take a gun or any other weapon into court. Why the hell should you be allowed to take a damn knife in just because, you know, you think whatever God thinks you need to wear the silly knife? Like, that's ridiculous. But the one point, too, I wanted to get at Beth sent over is, in this particular case, the pharmacy was a mom-and-pop shop in a rural town, and the owner was the only pharmacist. So there was no one else in that pharmacy who could provide the prescription. And because Plan B is so time-sensitive, even if that patient went to try and find another pharmacy, chances were that they could run out of time before that happens. And I actually think that some of these people, and maybe all of them, I don't know, but part of it is they may even do it deliberately because they know that after a certain period of time that the pills aren't going to work, and that woman is now, if there's going to be a pregnancy, she has to go through the whole abortion thing. And I think it comes back again to punishing people for having sex that they don't think they should be having. Mm-hmm. And it's unconscionable. And the thing is, like, if I had a business and you came into my business and said, well, you know, I need to do something in regards to my religion, and I said, well, I'm sorry, that's against my atheism, I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, I shouldn't be doing that in a public business, you know, like, like, if I'm a police officer, I'm going to say, oh, well, you know, you're a Christian, you've got God, let God take care of you. I'm not going to arrest that home invader, you know, because you're going to pray, so what do you need me for? Like, come on, like, that's ridiculous. And that's kind of amounts to what they're doing.
It'd be kind of fun to turn a sack on them, though, just once.
It would be.
Oh,
it totally would be. Yeah. Atheist pharmacist, right? They come in and they're like, oh, I want my heart medication. Like, well, aren't you going to pray first? Like, did God tell you that that's how you're supposed to cure it? Like, go pray first and then come back and ask me for your nitroglycerin, you know?
Oh, that's bad.
But everyone would have a conniption if we did that. But that is what they're freaking doing.
Bridget?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to give her all the fire and brimstone over there, are you?
Well, I'm not sure what else to say after all that.
Yeah, she's got a big mess, doesn't she?
I agree with her. If you cannot do your job, then get out and find another job. And maybe things are a little different up in Canada, I'm not sure, but I'm getting pretty tired of it down here where people are making these moral judgments and they're refusing to perform medicine in a way that is the accepted standard, and people are dying from it. We've got a situation now in Seattle, in King County, where if you need to get an abortion for whatever reason, most of the hospitals have been bought out by Catholic hospitals, and so you cannot get an abortion there, even though it's legal. There's no providers. And so if the laws cannot be passed to ban abortion, then the lawmakers and the churches are going around that by buying up hospital systems and making it to where it's so hard to obtain a legal abortion that you just can't.
It should be illegal for hospitals to operate under religious influence.
It should be.
That should be the next law that's drawn up.
And the thing that gets me is that these idiots think that this is going to prevent women from terminating. And it might.
And it's not. It's going to kill women because they're still going to terminate. It's just not going to be safely.
If you're in a position where, I mean, that poor young lady at 16 years old decided that she needed to drown herself because she couldn't get an anonymous abortion, like, how is it, it just, you know, I don't even know.
Well, and the thing that scares me is that you look at some of the legislation that people try to pass in places like Georgia, to where if you have a miscarriage, then they have to investigate it as a possible feticide. And you're guilty until proven innocent.
That's ridiculous.
That is a wheelbarrow.
They were trying to make that a felony if you had a miscarriage and you could not prove that you did nothing to contribute.
You know,
and I can put up links for show notes for that.
Oh no, I've heard all about this, but I want one of these governing yokels. I want one of their wives to have a miscarriage, and let's see them go through it.
Exactly.
Well, Rick Santorum's wife had to have an abortion, and he didn't condemn that.
Yeah, I'm talking more about someone who's, you know, actually credible. Santorum these days to me, no. Santorum,
well, he's not credible, but it was okay for his wife to have one.
Yeah, but no.
Women should not have access to birth control because that allows them to do things outside of the sexual realm that should not be.
Santorum is a joke, okay? Well, actually, just about everybody Republican is a joke these days, evidenced by the fact that Donald Trump is leading the polls. But actually, I'd call that good news.
And by the way, where you were starting to tread, you were getting real dangerous close to where I'm going at this point.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
I think he was talking to me.
Heretic Woman Bridget, was there any stone at this point that either one of you wanted to chime on? Like I said, I wanted to make sure that you guys had as close to the final on this one because, well, my finale and wrapping it all together is actually going to prove exactly why. But I wanted to give you guys as much time as you wanted to hash this guy out between each other. Because, I mean, you guys bounce off of each other really nicely, and you guys have got far more invested in this than the rest of us. I'll admit it.
Look at it this way. The bulk of what these people are trying to do to, quote, prevent abortion and save babies and all that crap, all of it targets women.
And it's control. They want to control the women.
Because it, in their minds, the onus is on the woman to keep her legs shut, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, if they started saying, like, hey, we're going to, you know, chemically castrate you until, you know, we decide that you're going to have a procreate or whatever, men would never stand for that. And it bothers me that women put up with that ever. Like, And that's what the sort of, you know, God doesn't want people having sex crap does is make them think that it's okay to give in to this kind of crap. And it's just, makes me want to throw things at people.
It's patriarchal thinking, and I mean, patriarchy is messed up.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
So that's what...
The excuse is boys will be boys, but it's up to the women to control the boys and not, you know, give it up.
Oh, I know. And it goes, like, look at Islam, man. Like, you got to wear a burlap sack because guys can't control their dicks.
Mm-hmm. Like, and if you happen to get raped, then you're going to be killed for it. So.
Yep. Oh, and Dallin.
Can't help themselves.
Beth just sent me an article to your point, Dallin. Headline is, Tennessee Republican who pressured mistress to have an abortion votes to restrict them for other women.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've actually heard of that article. I may have read it, too. Bottom line, it's the same kind of BS that you get with people decrying the gay, but then... tapping their feet in the stalls at some point when they think no one's watching.
Or they're all over Grindr.
Thing is, it's all hypocrisy. It's them wanting the same... They want the privilege of doing something that they can forbid everybody else to do.
Methinks the moron doth protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the spot where I want to cut it off because that's right into where I wanted to finish us up with. What we've been talking about tonight is a women issue. I mean, plain and simple, that's what it comes down to. In the skeptical community, it is far more male than it is female. That's just the numbers. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that's just the way it's been running out. Now, we're not going to be touching on that sociologically because, well, truth be told, we're not, neither prepared for that nor qualified for that right now. But what we've been talking about is specifically female-oriented medicine. And why should it be like this? It doesn't make any kind of sense. What kind of an uproar would there be if there was a board of women who proposed that men should have their prostates... Well, you know what? I don't think that we need to go any further than that. What kind of an uproar would there be if there was a board of women, medically licensed, medically talented, medically studied, who said anything about the male prostate, anything at all, and it had the weight of science behind it, of medical whatever? How much of an uproar would there be? I'm pretty sure there'd be a pretty good one. Let me give you a complete way the hell out there, for instance. And I'm gonna tick people off. Tough. What if women were to come out, a medical group were to come out to say that if men wanted to have better prostate health, better sex, they should, in the act of sex itself, that they should be you can understand in a second why I'm hesitating, because I'm really debating in my head, should I really
be this? Are you trying to say pegged?
You don't even know the half of it yet. That they should have their prostate massaged from the interior through the anus by way of using a sculpted equine phallus because of its shape.
Anal thing.
Because of its shape, because it would be intentionally changing and moving the interior configuration of the body. What kind of an uproar would there be?
Mm-hmm.
Because it depends on which community. Because it's us. Because it's men. Because there is this thing. Whether it's patriarchal or not by literal terminology, I'm not going to go into, because truth be told, I'm way too tired to try to figure that out. And I'm not qualified or prepared for that. Is it most likely? Sure, yeah. I'd be willing to stipulate to that for now. But why? Why should there be 100% male setup to dictate what women should be allowed to do? And why should it even be allowed to do? Women have bodies. Men have bodies. I have a certain configuration that you don't. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're male or female, my body is unique to me because my brain is unique to me. So I'm an individual, and what goes for me is dictated by me. If I want to go out there and blow my head off, I'm not going to, because it's been done to death. If I want to go ahead and take chemicals to change my mental faculties, I can do that safely in my own house. I've got wine in the fridge. If I want to have my Vos Deferens snipped and clipped and tied off so that I can no longer have children? That's my choice. That's up to me to decide. And if I were a woman and I said I wanted to take control of my reproduction in a way that is medically appropriate, that is approved, that is efficacious, that is within my means budgetarily, that is safe, that is reliable, why shouldn't I? Why should you tell me what I can and can't do with my body in that area where it's safe, effective, and God damn it, it works as intended? Who do you stand up to? Who do you stand up with when you say, I'm going to dictate what you can and cannot do? You're never going to use that term, are you? You're never going to use the term dictate. Because as soon as you use the appropriate term for what it is that you're doing, you have to take a long, hard look at who you are. Because the terminology is going to go ahead and show you exactly what you've become. And if I really need to spell it out for you, maybe, just maybe, you need to study up your language a little bit better. As always, everybody, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We know full well we're not the worst in the group, but we're not setting any speed records, and we sure as hell ain't winning any awards. But we still think that all of our perspectives are worthwhile. And thank you for listening to them all. As always, everybody, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Joseph, thank you very kindly, and you have yourself a good morning.
You too, sir.
He calls me sir because I've got a collar on my shirt. I can, you know what? Screw this noise. I'm just gonna do the whole 80s thing. Just put this right up like that. How's that? Is that better?
Next week, wear a tie.
Don't. I'm supposed to have two of them on, so we have two colors.
Dude, you look so 80s right now, Sujin.
That's the point.
The only way to be more 80s is if the shirt was pink.
Or neon.
Neon pink. Let's split the difference.
Ooh, here. There we go.
The irony that Sujin looks 80s right now is the fact that I was watching Tron today with my son in high def, so we got to see all the stuff in the background that you normally couldn't see when you originally watched the movie. And as soon as he turned his collar up, all I'm thinking of is like Flint Place and the stuff in the cubicles at NCOM.
I've been binging on 80s videos and Culture Club this week. So there you go.
Bridget, I'm not dissing the 80s. I love the 80s. And if you guys love the 80s, you got to pick up the book Ready Player One.
I had to edumacate some of my younger coworkers on the impact Miami Vice had on society back in the day.
Oh.
Hold on. Time out. Hold
hey,
it.
Magnum P.I.
Hold it. Time out.
No, Miami Vice, man.
We're saving this for next week. Next week, you know what? I will need somebody to remind me because I can't go typing right now because it'll be loud in the microphone. Somebody remind me once we get off the air. Next week's topic, we'll be talking about our childhoods. And I'm going to use that one instead of saying the 80s because it's the 70s. Coming. I've got a finger for you. Talk about our childhoods. It could be the 70s, it could be the 80s, it could be whatever the hell, but stuff from our youth that is held on, and we'll talk about that and why it holds on. So we'll save that for next week. We'll table it.
My childhood was so bad that I don't remember anything that happened to me before I was 30.
You know what? Your childhood was so bad, I don't remember your childhood until you were 30. Okay, how's that right now? Chris, thank you very much. Have a good
morning.
Remember,
folks, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Good morning, Chris.
You're doing it right.
Good morning, and great to be on again. And try and remind you about the 80s for next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You only have to gotta wait for about 10 more minutes, if that. Tech, thank you, man. You take care of yourself. Have a good morning. Or good night, or whatever it is.
Thanks. I enjoyed being here, and just, you know, I want to reiterate, you know, while yes, it is a, you know, we're talking about women's bodies, reproductive rights, the whole nine yards, but it's also a humanist topic, because it affects everybody involved. It affects both partners. It affects doctors. It affects children. It affects everybody. And when you have the education, when you have the available medicine, the available contraceptives, and more, but most importantly, the open communication, you improve everybody's lives. Stop limiting what people can say. Stop trying to limit people's actions. As I mean, you know, if it's harmful, like going out with a gun and just randomly shooting people, sure, okay, great. But if somebody wants to go out and have sex, that's their choice, not yours, unless you're the one that they're trying to have sex with.
All right. Joey, thank you.
And man. I don't think anybody really wants to have sex with Santorum. I think his wife is just kind of obligated because she's married.
Thank you. Joey, thank you very much. You have yourself a good night, morning, whatever the hell it is. Don't go blowing up any tanks.
Sorry I was so quiet. It's a bit of a crowded audience here tonight, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But
yep.
Yeah, just fun to be here. I'll see you all next week.
Fair enough.
Night.
Bridget, thank you, hon. You take good care of yourself tonight. You rest well.
You too.
Wow, this is nice. Last week it was like pulling teeth getting there to say goodnight. Thank you. Heretic woman, thank you, hon. You take care of yourself. Sleep well.
You, thank you. Well, at some point, I guess, yes.
Just keep drinking. Just keep drinking. You'll fall asleep sooner or later.
It's tea, actually. It's no booze tonight, sorry. I'm saving that for Monday. When, of course, I will be on my show, Beyond the Trailer Park, Monday at 9:30, and it looks like it's going to be kind of a free-for-all show this week, so it'll be a surprise. We'll be there with my great co-hostesses, of course. And then, there, of course, there's my Secular Savior at mysecularsavior.com. And coming up soon, probably in about 2 weeks-ish, there will be Atheist Apocalypse, which is, we do have a website now, atheistapocalypse.com. It's kind of basic, but the bones are there, so you can find out what you need to. And we do have a page, Atheist Apocalypse, for those left behind, and you'll find out there's some promos up there now where you can get kind of a taste of what the show's going to be about. So you can go there and check it out. And before I go to my lovely co-host, Beth, who we've been talking about back and forth. If folks didn't know, she had a bit of a health crisis going on 3 weeks ago now. And she needs some help. It's caused her not to be able to work, which is kind of a big issue. And we've started a GoFundMe for her. So you've heard us talk about her a lot. She's always kind of here on the side yapping in the Q&A and stuff. So goes by Dune as well and does her blog Havoc and Chaos. So if anybody would like to support, or if you could even just share the GoFundMe, I suspect Shujin might be able to put a link in the show notes, thinking, quite possibly. But yeah, if you could do that, that would be great. Every little bit helps, and people's generosity has already really started to make a difference, and that's amazing. So thanks.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to take care of that. We've got a lot of links that have been going on during the show, behind the scenes. I will be making sure that as many of them as I can get in there, end up in the notes one way or another anyway. And by the way, Bridget, there was a piece that you still had not covered. I was waiting for you to go ahead and say.
What, we're going to plug all the things?
Well, that's my job.
That's your job. Yeah. I would like to mention ApostaCon is coming up on September the 18th through the 20th, and it's going to be at the DFW Marriott, and Penn and Teller are headlining. So come on out and see us. We do have a meatball where we dress up like Pastafarians or whatever costume you want to wear, and we're going to be joined by Matt Dillahunty, Shelley Siegel, and Dave Fitzgerald. Tickets are $189 for adults and $75 for students. But come on out and see us in Dallas.
Very cool.
Yep. I was giving serious consideration to that, but it, timing-wise and driving distance, just a little bit too much for me. But once you guys come down to Pittsburgh again, I'm going to give serious reconsideration to that one, just because it'll be closer.
I was going to say, then I should also mention that in just shy of 3 weeks, we've got the non-conference for non-believers in Kitchener here, and we're headlining Lawrence Krauss, as well as Mr. Deity, and our hopefully soon-to-be dear friend Ensaf Haider, who is Rafe Badawi's wife, will also be there. So cool. That's pretty fantastic. And actually, in 2 weeks, Ensaf and Faisal Al-Muttar, who you may have heard of, he's an activist as well, ex-Muslim, they will be gracing my show, and we're going to talk about Rafe and that all that stuff. So,
even if I can't be there, I hope that you extend our best wishes, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
we will definitely have a Q&A open for that as well. So,
fair enough. And Alan, good morning. Thank you very much for all that you have done. And welcome back, Mr. Anderson. We've missed you.
Yes, and unfortunately, well, for one thing, yes, finally, good morning. I cannot guarantee that I'll be here next week because I will be traveling the day after for work. But, a new position at work. I am actually back to my normal traveling regimen, which is roughly 1 week per month. So I will try to be here as much as I can. And, hey, one week of living on the company's dime, this is not a problem for me.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Right. Meantime, everybody, thank you so very much for being with us. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you all one way or another. If you'd like to go ahead and send emails over to us, you can send it over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. Find us over on Facebook /holycrapthevlogcast. We've got over 50 likes. I've not been pushing that. Really love to see some more. We've been doing a lot of more word-of-mouth advertising than anything else, and I like it that way. Organic works. I like that a lot. But G+, Twitter, Facebook, all of the things, just find us that way and let folks know that you find something worthwhile in what we do. And as always, amongst other things, hey Cash, it's a thing, man. Thanks for being part of it. And we miss you. You take care of yourself. As always, everybody, until the very next time, of course, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And by the way, Bridget, you did a good job on Imaginary Friend Show. I just wanted to go ahead and just give you an opportunity of blushing like crazy. Look at that. She's going really. She looks like Pikachu. That's great. I love that.
Thank you.
If you don't know, I'll find the Imaginary Friend Show .com podcast. And if you can't spell that, I can't help you. But in the meantime, Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Until the next time we get together, everybody, which should be in about a week. We'll see you then. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.